Shazia Dean.
How you doing?
Oh my God, I'm a mess.
Why?
I was out in comedy. This comedy is such a bad lifestyle. I was out so late. And whenever I'm out late, like I'm just destroyed the next day. But it's like this constant, culmination of just out being late, doing shows.
Well, your body needs rest. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah. And I wake up early. And I think I talked to you in the morning. I was at the coffee shop. So I was, got some coffee ready to go. Did some coke. We're rolling, baby.
Take a Valium at night or whatever. I don't know. How are you going to get rest? Are you back tonight?
No. Tonight I'm off.
Okay, good. I actually need sleep.
What is sleep? Well, do you, how many hours of sleep do you get?
Oh, I get at least 8.
Wow. Really? Yeah. Always?
I've always been that way. I'm a sleeper.
The Ambien?
I'm
kicks
grouchy.
in?
If I don't get sleep, I'm grouchy.
Is that all natural or you take sleeping pills?
Oh, no, I can fall asleep. I mean, listen, if there's stuff going on in my life and I have anxiety, I can't fall asleep. I do have those nights, but then I make up for it. I will sleep in if I can.
Are you like Michael Jackson? You're like, I need my milk, propofane, whatever he was taking. And you're like hooked up. And he's
Dude,
like, I want my milk.
I watched that. Did you see that new documentary about where they filmed that song in 1985 with Michael Jackson and all the other singers? Not
No.
Band Aid, but the other song about feeding the kids in Africa.
We Are the World, that one.
Yes, We Are the World.
There's a documentary about that? I didn't
Oh,
know
it's
that.
so good. It's so
On
good.
what?
Lionel Richie's in it. Cyndi Lauper's in it. And they talk. And Lionel Richie tells the funniest story about when they were writing the song at Michael Jackson's house. And Michael Jackson had all these crazy animals. Like he had his monkey. Remember he had the chimpanzee, Bubbles. He had a snake that had been lost for a while that made an appearance while Lionel was there. And then he had like a talking bird fighting with a dog. And I was just like, Michael Jackson was like no other human.
Oh, the guy was the king back in the 80s. Wait, so Lionel Richie produced We Are the World?
So Quincy Jones produced it, and Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson wrote it. It was supposed to be with Stevie Wonder, but Stevie Wonder wasn't able to join in on the writing of the actual song. So Lionel Richie goes through and tells what the process was like coming up with the song. It's a really cool documentary.
You know, clips have been showing up on my TikTok. Was Waylon, is it Waylon Jennings, the guy who wrote the Dukes of Hazzard theme? This the Southern guy. He like walks out halfway through. He's like, this isn't for me. It's like,
yes, he did. Absolutely. And they show that. They show him walk out. It's when Stevie Wonder was like, we need to put a verse in Swahili. We all need to learn this Swahili verse. And then the artists are arguing like, but this is Ethiopia and they don't speak Swahili in Ethiopia necessarily. And so there was this like creative argument and he was like, peace out, I'm out. Like, no, this isn't for me.
Man, I remember when that song came out, and I probably knew all those singers back then. Even back then, I knew when I was a kid. I was like, oh, Cyndi Lauper and this person. Probably I knew 80%. If you were to show me like today's top musicians in a room, I'd be like, who are these people? I wouldn't even know who's who, you know?
Totally. But that goes to show back then there were less artists. You know, there was network TV. So if it was on the American Music Awards, then we knew them. And if they weren't, we basically didn't know them unless, you know, I mean, even like coffee shop bands didn't become a thing until the 90s when grunge got into style. So, but now there's just so many musicians. How could we know them all? But you're right. I don't know like the top trending pop musicians of 2023 or 24.
Oh my God, I tried to watch the MTV VMAs or just like the clips of it. And I was like, who are these people? But I knew them 10 years ago. It wasn't that bad 10 years ago. I would be able to pick them out. Now I'm like, man, I don't know who these people are. And I guess I'm just, and I remember being a kid, like listening to like my dad's music, my mom, whatever, like their generation. I'd be like, what is this, Richie, Four Seasons or Richie Valens, whatever the hell they were listening to. Probably more Indian shit. But I'm just saying, when you're a kid, you don't understand your parents' music. And I was like, am I just becoming an adult where I don't understand kids' music?
I think so. I think that's the process of life.
What are your kids listening to? Like Taylor Swift? What do you listen to?
So my girls actually do listen to a lot of 80s music because that's the station that I have on in the car. So they know a lot of 80s music, but my girls are into like Christian rock bands.
Like their dad.
Like Aurora loves Lauren Daigle. So much so she wants to go to her concert.
Who doesn't love Lauren Daigle? I
Yeah.
don't know who that is, but
I didn't either until my daughter started listening to her every day, all day. She's pretty good.
yeah, it's. I feel like because comedy is very hard, and then I look at musicians and I'm like, this is way harder than comedy because I would do shows sometimes at these colleges and or like a US a military tour, and it was just me and a microphone, but the bands would like show up with their instruments and sound checks and amps, and I was like, this is so much production for one performance.
My first boyfriend was a musician and a glass blower. But I had a truck in high school. I inherited my father's Nissan pickup truck, and I was the roadie for their band. So all the equipment would go in the back of my truck, and I'd take them to their gig. And then, yes, even the way they have to wrap the wires, you can't just messily wrap up wires. You have to, like, there's a whole process and the way you tie them to put them into the car. And the organization was like Tetris of like the way the equipment will go into my truck. It's a lot of work.
And we should say Shazzy was dating the lead singer of Metallica, so she was the roadie for Metallica, and just
Wasn't. I was really into Motley Crue when I was in junior high school.
sure they were huge. They're
They were huge. And
still
they
huge.
went. Well, they went to my junior high school. My junior high school used to be a high school, and the garage band that started there was Motley Crue. So they were kind of agents
Really?
of
Wow.
Glendora and Covina, California, where I grew up. And yeah, so I was super into them. And then I met Nikki Sixx, I think like when I was 22 years old at
What about
a
you?
convention. That was super cool.
Yeah, I've only met one rock star, and that was Richie Sambora. And he was in, I used to work at Spin City, this TV show in the late 90s, early 2000s. I was an intern. And Heather Locklear was on the show, and she was dating Richie Sambora. And Heather Locklear kind of sucked, but Richie Sambora was always like super nice.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
So,
rock stars are a different breed. They aren't like actors, celebrities. I mean, musicians, it's like another world.
would you be a main celebrity if you were? I know we always go back to that. If you were famous, would you be like a main person?
No, why? I mean, unless someone was imposing on my privacy, if I was going through a hard time and people were trying to like get into my home or threaten my safety. I don't know that I'd be mean, but I would definitely be a mama bear. I would defend myself. I would try and protect myself.
I'm asking because I see a lot of celebs, and I feel like people are just morons. Like they just invade your social space, your private space, and they don't care at all. Like I've seen people just come in and take selfies with pe celebrity. I'm like, dude, are you insane? Like there's like boundaries here, but people don't respect. It must drive you insane after a while.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I would never run up onto a celebrity, force a photo with them. No, why? They're human.
Yeah, I think I'd be a kind of a dick just because I'd want that barrier. Like honestly, there are comedians and they do like meet and greets after shows and they charge money for that.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta charge pay like an extra $100 to meet them. And I was like, I kind of get it because not to sound like I'm not famous at all, but sometimes after shows, you're exhausted talking to people. Like they always come up to you and they want to talk and they tell you their life story, like the time they did comedy or they know their cousin knows so and so from gut, and you just have to like listen, and it's mentally exhausting. Like you do a show, and then you've got to talk. I sound like a bitch here, but you then you got to talk to everybody, And it's like draining. Like everybody, for them, it's a big deal, like one on one. But that's like, do that over and over and over. And you're like, man, I just want to go home, you
Yeah,
know?
especially after you've gone up there and done a whole performance, you need to be in your own space. So
Yeah.
do we expect you guys to stay after and
Well, I'm
address
trying to sell,
the
if you're trying to sell shit to them after the show, merchandise
Okay.
and stuff. But at the same time, even if you're not selling, you just want to engage with your fans, so, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they came out, they bought a ticket, they bought a hard dollar, spent a hard dollar to go see your show. So you want to, appreciate them. But at the same time, it's like, dude, I'm exhausted. And it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, that is a tough balance. I can't imagine that. Not for me. When I leave a set from working all day, no, I am straight to bed. I don't even want to go out and like network and go to dinner. It's like, no, I need to get home or like get on a treadmill or go for a walk or something.
Get on a treadmill. What about like when you go for like shoots and stuff? I mean, even the makeup shirt, are you like one of those people who likes to talk to like everybody when you show up on set? Or do you just point me?
I find a very delicate balance because I've been on sets where like that guy shows up who's like, "Hey, I'm talking to everyone. I'm friends with everyone.
Yeah.
How you doing? Oh man, blah blah." And it's like exhausting to even watch those people.
Yeah.
So I'm not that, but I'm also not completely quiet, but I do make conversation. I try and connect with each individual person. I'm also very grateful. Like I know how hard and stressful it is to be on a set at give any given time because
Yeah.
there's a, so many creative differences happening on a set. And so and B, there's just so much money riding on every minute. And so I respect the money that's riding on it and I let people do what they need to do creatively. I try not to get too much in the way. That has bit me in the behind before. I
Wow.
had booked, well, I had booked a Doritos commercial, and it was going to be me and Enrique Iglesias, and I'm this girl that he pulls out of the crowd while he's performing, and we eat Doritos together. But he actually just wants my Dorito, and I think he's pulling me out because I'm eating Doritos in the front row,
So it's about
and
like everyday circumstances that happens to everybody, right?
eats Doritos in the front row of a concert. And so
Oh,
I booked this job. And when I went to the audition, I looked, you know, like a teenager. I had braids, no makeup on. So I get to set, and there's a lot of stress because Enrique Iglesias is only available to shoot that day for 1 hour. He's not going to be there all day. So they're all stressed out, and hair and makeup starts doing my hair and makeup, and they put so much like smoky dark eyes, big glossy lips, lots of contour. They did my hair, like they teased it, made it huge. And I did tell them once, I said, "By the way, here's how I looked at the audition." I showed him a photo. I was like, "Pigtails, like no makeup." They're like, "Yeah, but you're like the star. You're the girl he pulls out of the crowd." So Enrique Iglesias gets there, they're ready to shoot, they bring me to set, and the producers are like, "Who is this? Like a Victoria's Secret model? What did you guys do to her?" They sent me back to my trailer, and since they only had 1 hour, they picked a girl from the extras and they gave her my part. I lost that commercial. I went home, I got paid for the day. That commercial came on so much. I probably would have made like 60 grand off of it easily. And
Wait,
I lost.
you lost that commercial
Yeah,
because the makeup.
wasn't it? They made the extra, the principal, because they didn't have time to take my makeup
Oh my
down.
God.
Enrique was there for 1 hour. They needed to shoot it as soon as he got there. And as soon as they brought me to set, they were like looking at hair and makeup, like, "What did you do to the girl we cast? This isn't the girl we cast." And I realized then, I do need to speak up more. I do need to speak up. And now I'm so crazy about it. Like when I show up to set, I'm like, "Here's a picture of me. Here's how I look. Here's my auditions take. Like, this is what I look like." And I make sure that they ask the client before they start putting makeup on me. Because me with a lot of makeup on is transformative. I look like a different person.
Did your agents go nuts? They must have been.
Oh my goodness. It was. My agents wanted, they wanted to go after the makeup artist, but you know, it's I should have spoken. It was just a combination of things that went the wrong way. And maybe that girl who got that commercial, you know, maybe it was her time and she needed it more than me. That's the only way I can really justify making sense of what happened. But
Well, you're a better person than I am. I would never eat Doritos again, probably after that.
well, yeah, I don't eat Doritos anyways, but
Now that person is J-Lo. That was the extra.
yeah, no, I mean, I don't know who it was. It was an extra. It was her lucky day.
Well, I think we all have those moments where we're like, you just come so close to things. A national commercial is a big deal, by the way. It's a big,
Huge.
I don't think you can make the same money. Like, to make 60 grand off a commercial nowadays, I've heard it's changed a lot. I think I booked a commercial a couple of years ago. I didn't make close. I think I made like 10 grand off of it. That was it.
Yeah, I think the average now should be around 13 because that's usually the first cycle of it running. You get about 13. And then it renews in cycles of like 4 grand. But I think it's like 13 to 20. Just depends.
Did you ever go out for like those big hosting? Like, you ever see like those jobs, like the Flow Girl or the spokesperson?
I didn't, but one of my friends had booked the Lincoln Mercury girl, and it was a huge paycheck. I mean, it was crazy. It really launched her career. So I was so happy for her. But yeah, I never went out for a spokesperson for a brand.
You know, because I was just at a coffee shop with a friend and he was comparing New York to LA. And he said, I like LA better because it's New York's too busy. And I said, well, the difference is everybody in LA, they're almost dreamers. Like everybody in this coffee shop, like versus New York, there's like a work ethic. People have normal jobs, but LA, it's like we're all like delusional. You need that delusion a little bit to even have a shot in LA, because people are crazy. Like the goals they have here are just ridiculous. But once you attain them, it kind of it's all for naught. You know, everything's kind of swept aside. Like people you think are crazy coming up, and then they achieve it. They're like, oh, I guess it's you
It
just forget
happens.
about it.
Yeah, we've all seen it happen. So you're like, it happens. So why won't it happen to me?
Yeah, I did the show a few days ago at this Mexican comedy club, and there was a comedian there. I don't want to say his name, but he was 26 and he's huge on Instagram and he just sold it out. Like they were oversold. And this kid's walking around blinged out and he's 26. And I'm thinking he's such a sweet kid because he doesn't know anything different. But he's like, oh yeah, you know, this is what I mean, must be like, this is what it's like, show business. Because he just blew up so fast, like within 2 years. And he's selling out like a club, like over, and he sells it everywhere he goes. And you just think, like, man, I guess it's possible. Like people can just reach another level of stardom out here in LA. That's why
They
you come.
reach, but when they reach the stardom fast, I think there's still experience to be gained. And the difference between him today and him next year, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, he's going to grow if he stays relevant, which that's a whole other thing. How do you know, a lot of these people make it, but they have a hard time maintaining relevancy.
Have you seen people fall from grace?
I think, I mean, not people that I personally know, but I know people that, have stepped aside and decided, hey, wait, this isn't for me.
I had somebody forward me an article recently on Yasmin Bleeth. Remember that girl?
Yes, yeah.
And I guess,
Baywatch.
yeah, Baywatch. Well, my friend knew her because I guess his kid and her kid went to the same school. And he was like, she's like totally unrecognizable. But I was like, you know what? She's also like in her 40s and stuff. Like, what do you expect? You think she's gonna look like that her entire life? Like, who knows what she was? But I guess she had a big coke problem too. So.
That always ages you, but people age. It's not, it's natural. These women on Baywatch are in their 50s. It's okay. And I think it's really hard, the pressure on these women to stay at their status of what they look like in their 20s. That's unrealistic. And it's not fair. I do think there's people changing that right now, but for a long time, it was like you weren't allowed to grow old in Hollywood. So you fell from grace, or you went into hiding, and then, paparazzi get the worst photo of you, and they're like, then and now. And it's
Well,
not.
is it a double standard? Because I feel like guys have it easier than girls. Because there is so many. I mean, look, I see so many pictures, movies with guys and dudes who are like in their 70s and their love interest is like 20 years younger than them or 50s with 20 years. Like, really? Seriously? I mean, I know it's a guy thing, but I think it's more unfair for women. Like, what's your
Agree.
perspective?
I totally agree. But I think we're moving away from that. But like in the last decade, even the men, I think people were being really mean to like Brendan Fraser, or if someone gained weight, or let people live their life. People are gonna gain weight, they're gonna lose weight, they're gonna go through hard things. They may be battling addictions. People are gonna get wrinkles, they're gonna lose their hair, they're gonna it's just life. Why can't we just embrace it? Because it's gonna happen to everyone.
What, there's nothing better than the comeback story, though, in Hollywood. When someone comes back, the when Travolta came back, or Michael Keaton. I mean, these are all guys. But I think when you fall, or even who did you just mention? The guy
Brendan
from The
Fraser.
Mummy, Brendan Fraser. Like, he won an Oscar, right? And people were rooting for this guy forever. Like, whenever I saw him, like, because there was a time he'd just show up and he's all fat and stuff giving interviews. And they were like, oh, this poor guy looks beaten. And I guess he had a horrible divorce. Everything on his health problems.
Let the guy have health problems. Jeez, people are mean. I think it's easier to criticize other people and point out their flaws than have to look in the mirror and be like, whoa, I'm not really being a good person right now. Or look at your own flaws and work on them. And we got to shift that.
Well, you can't, it's impossible now because of the internet. All these YouTube warriors with like keyboard warriors just saying stuff. Does that affect, I guess, I mean, you're an Instagram hiatus right now,
I am.
was that spurred by, I mean, tell me why.
Yeah, I felt like I was under a lot of pressure all the time to interact with people, comment on, if I didn't comment on someone that I know's post, they would text me and be like, hey, is everything okay? Just checking in on you. I saw that you saw my post, but you didn't say anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, it might have scrolled by while I was changing a channel or doing something else, and I didn't even see it because, they're like scroll if you don't stop them. And I just thought, oh, I don't like the way this makes me feel. It makes me feel like I owe something to someone. And I also didn't like not having control of the energy that's coming at me. And right now I'm trying to like shift a few things in my life, and so I needed to clear myself and have less people talk happening that I don't even know about, because I really believe that your words carry power. And so if you're saying words that are negative or positive, even towards another person, it's affecting that person. And so sure enough, I'm on a social media fast, and now all these wonderful things are happening in my life, and I think it's because I've stopped a lot of negative chatter or just chatter alone that was coming at me through social media.
Good for you, because I don't know how I can ever get off of it. I feel like it's important, like what I do. Like, I've got to be constantly putting myself out there, and I'm not even an influencer yet. I feel like this pressure all the time. Like, you got to be posting. You got to be, even clubs that like they're messaging me, hey, did you promote the show? We have X amount of tickets sold for this show, and it's like you got to put it out there, and then other people see you on other shows, so they book you. So it's like there's a machine that never stops.
It
There's
absolutely is. And everyone is a slave to it. And that is not going away. And it's not going to be reverting. So I think we just all need to set healthy boundaries with it and accept it for what it is. It's a page for promotion. If you are taking it personally, seriously, and your emotions are involved, it's going to be a hard road. So I think that, even in high school, they should have like, online social media training. Like, okay, this is a way to promote yourself or your business. This is not where you go to get likes and find friends and have emotional support, because, and not to say there aren't coaches on there that do offer emotional support and that there aren't positive messaging on there. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to differentiate, and it's hard to not go down the rabbit hole. Once the algorithm picks it up, it doesn't weed out bad from good. It just throws it all at you.
Yeah, I think we're all slaves to an algorithm. That's the most insane thing of it. It's just
It is.
you're fighting something which is kind of abstract, and there's no solution. And that algorithm can also make you a star as well. It's crazy how the switch can just be flipped so quickly. And I
I mean,
wonder, like, would you go into this business if you were 20 years old today, knowing the land? I guess you wouldn't. Be possible, I'd be able to understand, but I would be very intimidated going into this business if it was today. Or maybe I'd be encouraged. It may be the opposite.
yeah, I don't know. I can't really put myself there. This business is I've done this business longer than I haven't at this point. I've been, I started doing commercials right like my senior year of high school. So I've been doing this now. I've been SAG since 1998.
Sad.
SAG.
Oh,
SAG.
it's sad.
No, not sad. I've been SAG since 1998, which is a heck of a long time. So it's all I know. I do love the industry, but man, has it gone through changes. It's not what it was back. It's not what it was 5 years ago. It's not what it was. Totally different from 10 years ago.
Yeah, and the thing is, it just constantly evolves and changes. Like, not to be morbid, but I was just reading about Carl Weathers, who passed away, the guy from Meraki. If you know that, the black dude. And the guy was such an icon of all these movies and TV shows growing up. And then he's gone, but like the business keeps moving on without him, you know? And you were like, that's and I look at all like the comedy stars or whatever that I kind of looked up to when I was in my 14, 15, like David Spade or like Adam Sandler and stuff. These guys are pushing 60 now, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think. Like, there's a whole new crop of people coming up, right?
Oh, and the young people, they don't know who these guys are. They don't know who Adam Sandler is. They don't know who David Spade is.
Yeah. So it's like, it's almost like it's so niche now, these like social media, like your audience is niche. Like, they're people with millions of fans, but they cater to a very specific demographic. Like when we were coming up, it was just, a wide net. Now you got to think, well, who's my niche? Like, who's your niche? Who does Shazia appeal to?
Yeah, I think it would be women my age,
And
moms.
horny teenagers who are into like MILF porn or something.
You have to do it, right? You can't help yourself. No, I think I do. It's for the moms who are
Yeah.
fighting like this aging thing too. I think I'd like to be an advocate for like it's okay. We're still hip. We're still cool. We're just older.
Well, let me go back to what I was saying because I have to finish this. So, do you get hit on by a lot by like younger dudes who are like in like older women?
I have. Yes, I have.
How come it's not like that for guys? Because I feel like unless like, or maybe it is, unless like you have like a lot of money, but I feel like girls know what.
Yeah, if you're an older dude getting hit on by a younger girl, chances are it's because you have a lot of money. That's about it.
But it's not the same if you're a female. I feel like some guys are just into older women.
Perhaps. I don't know that mentality or that world, but I can say that has happened to me. With my wedding ring on, I'm like, are you, what is going on? I've been confused. But I guess it's a thing. You're right.
Well, I've written a book about it, so I was going to plug my book about not kidding.
Do book incoming book.
Now, I was just curious because I just feel like, and I don't want to like switch topics here, but like there's so many like sexual deviations. Oh, you know what? You live in Texas. Maybe it's a different world out here.
It is. And so I was going to say the times that that's happened to me has been within minutes of landing in Los Angeles
Within minutes? Really?
at the car rental in the shuttle, then at the car rental place. So much so that I thought, am I on a hidden camera show? What is going on? Why is the guy, why are these like, what? I'm so confused because in Texas, especially where I live in a very family-oriented part of Texas, I don't get hit on.
Really? So I feel like guys are just animals in general.
LA is its own beast.
Is it LA or humanity?
I think there's certain cities where the energy is different, and it's like everyone wants to be single and be in this like hookup scene. Like I feel it in Miami and LA equally.
Sometimes I'll watch the like open mics or something or like new comics, and I'll see these guys, mostly it's dudes, and they've already spent their lives in these very respectable professions, like they're doctors or lawyers. And comedy is so raw, especially when you're starting out, you really don't know how to, so you're just like for some reason people just think they can just say whatever they want on stage. Like they watch too much Bill Burr and they're like, oh, I'm just gonna talk about how I really feel. And they're saying the most fucked up, like perverted things on stage, like these like lawyers and doctors trying to do comedy. And I'm thinking, man, this is your inner monologue? Like this is what you keep inside of you all this time? Like you just realize everybody is like a freak of nature out here. You know what I'm saying? It's like people.
Attracts it, and the people who don't vibe with it usually leave.
See, I just feel like that's everywhere. I don't think it's just, I don't think you can separate it by state. I think.
So much stronger. It is, you can feel it. Trust me. It's when I land in LA, there's something different, and I'm super sensitive to it now because I live in Texas where it's not that way. It's a different electricity in the air.
So there you have it. If you want to come to LA and be a sexual deviant, come to Los Angeles. We will welcome you with open arms. Come
I'm
stay
pretty
with
sure
us.
that's how it goes over there. I think Miley Cyrus wrote a song about it, didn't she?
Well, I mean, Jesus, I don't look at, not to talk about the new stuff, but I don't know if you follow that Vince McMahon stuff, the guy from WWE. You
Oh, I
follow
saw
that?
that. Yeah.
We got the text messages. So basically, I don't know. I guess there was somebody he hired and he was hooking up with her and he was having threesomes with her. But like, he was sending her the most sexually explicit text messages. And it was like ridiculous. And he actually resigned from the board and everything. But I just think
The
he.
truth catches up with you. All this stuff catches up. People need to be careful. Women are speaking now, and even if they were in on it back then, they're like, they'll throw you under the bus at this point. I think people need to be careful with that stuff.
But I don't think it's a male-female thing. I think, I'm sure there are female CEOs, who are just, I think power, that Machiavellian quote, power corrupts, corrupts, absolutely. I feel like when people feel like they can get away with stuff, they go apeshit. So, I wonder if I had that power, would I be like that? I don't know. I can't speak to it because I've never experienced that, right?
Well,
Hopefully,
I know I wouldn't. I know for a fact I wouldn't.
how can you say that?
Because I have a moral compass. And so I put that first in my life. There's no way.
Such
I
an
gotta be able to
optimist.
lay my head down at night and be like, I feel good about everything I did today.
See, but if you believe the universe is total anarchy and chaos, then there's no rules to it. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah,
We have a different moral. I don't know. I feel like you have good morals. I don't, am I
had good
totally?
morals, but my universe has been flipped upside down. But there was a Stephen Hawking quote that really resonated with me. And he goes, the universe is just a matter of like physics. I'm paraphrasing here. And that made more sense to me because I just see so many atrocities and things. I'm like, you know, it just, the world is so messed up. I'm sorry, it is.
It is like Lord of the Rings or the Matrix. There is a constant battle of evil and good that is existing in the Matrix quantum world around us at any given time. And we're super susceptible to both. And so if you are living consciously and you're making a choice every day to be in the highway of good, then you will detour from the bad. But if you're not making that conscious choice to be good, you may fall onto the bad track and not even know that you're in it. So for me, it's a choice I make every day. But I think it, like all of those sci-fi, you know, even like the Dark Crystal, all of that stuff applies to my life. I feel like at any given time in a world that we cannot see, there is a battle of evil and good, and we are subject to being drawn in to one side. And I think if you're not making the choice of being on one, you will automatically be drawn to the dark because it's enticing. It's enticing on a physical level to so many people. You know, that life seems more fun than a good, than like a wholesome life of, you know, homesteading, farming like I want.
I don't know. I don't know if I can. I used to believe in good and bad. Now I just think everything just is. Like even because I deal with a lot of bad people in comedy who I just can't stand, like these bookers and stuff. And I'm just like, that's just the way it is. Like there are just people who just are wretched individuals and you have to deal with them. And I wish there was a thing where like if you're just a virtuous person, then everything's gonna work out. But
Hey, I didn't say if you're a virtuous person, everything's going to work out. I think
yeah.
that everything will work out within you as far as peace, but it doesn't mean you're not going to come face to face with darkness or people that are mean or awful people. That's part of this existence on Earth. We are going to come across those people, but the way that, the choice that we make and the way that we react is everything.
Yeah, no, I've heard that many times. I guess I just struggle with that still.
You're in it. You're like in the chaos
I'm
all
in
the time.
the den of I'm in the den of iniquity here in Los Angeles.
And you're in the night world. And in the night world, even more dark creatures come out. That's okay. You know, you just got to learn to react and how to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever learn. I just see too much. And there's too much jealousy and avarice and greed. Just you're just surrounded by it all the time. And I guess I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm drinking water right now. This is, you got to like figure out the bright spots of the day, right?
You have to look for the good and you have to make a conscious choice. It's active. It's not, if you're not actively choosing good, light, and peace, it's not just coming to you. It's a crazy time right now. You have to look for it and choose it and walk towards it and block out the negativity, block out the things that don't bring you joy and the people that are challenging you.
That's a
But
great message, Shazia.
yeah.
That's a great message to end on. Everybody, just don't worry. Choose your light and find peace and join Shazia's cult in Texas and everything's gonna be okay.
Please. Yes. Thank you.
Shazia, good talking to you as always. Do you want to plug anything?
No. I love a good tea. Drink tea.
Simply, go see my shows and buy my books. And Shazia, good talking to you. Have fun being pretty and cooking stuff. All right.
Thanks. All right.
I'll see
Bye.
you. Bye.